the record, this is February 11, 2005. President Representative Wilson, President, our Representative Gruenberg, and Representative Moses. I'm Representative Wyrock. This is the meeting of House Ways and Means Committee. And we're going to take up one bill today, House Bill 71. And present online are several individuals, and we'll start with Commissioner Bill Corbus. Mr. Corbus, can you hear us? Mr. Corbus, can you hear us?
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay, we've got the bill before us, and if you want to start, please.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, I'm Bill Corbus, Commissioner of Revenue. With us at various locations is Dan Dickinson, Director of the Tax Division, Gary Rogers, Senior Auditor of the Tax Division, and Jim Cowan from the Department of Natural Resources and knowledgeable on the Alaska Peninsula lease sale. First of all, I want to make it clear that the administration strongly supports this bill, and we encourage the committee to act favorably for it. Briefly, the goals of House Bill 71 are to encourage exploration in the Alaska Peninsula areas. We state that both large and small companies will benefit by the incentives that are going to be offered in this legislation, and we see economic benefits to the local communities. This is part of the administration's effort to encourage resource development. And with that, I'd like to turn it over to Gary Rogers, who is going to walk us through the bill.
Mr. Rogers, before you begin, what we did is House Bill 71 was introduced, and it was referred to four committees, this being its first committee. We had looked at the bill and then worked with legislative drafting to revise the bill and make some amendments to it. So we have a proposed committee substitute before us, and so why don't we formally move that committee substitute, Representative Wilson, and I'll object for purposes of discussion.
Okay, I move committee substitute for House Bill number 71, version G, before us.
Okay, and I'll object. And then...
This is the G version?
G version. That's correct. And then Representative Gruenberg and Moses or Wilson, if you have questions, please just let's just interrupt as we go through this. Because what I'd like to do is, because this has such a long road, is move the bill at the end of the meeting today. So go ahead, sir.
Okay, Mr. Chairman, good morning. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. My name is Gary Rogers. I'm a revenue auditor with the Department of Revenue Tax Division. I've worked on the exploration tax credit and responsible for auditing these exploration tax credits. Basically, the way it works is the exploration credit that was enacted last year provides oil and gas explorers a credit against their production taxes of 20% of allowable expenses for exploration wells drilled more than 3 miles from a pre-existing well. There's an additional 20% credit of allowable expenses for exploration drill wells drilled more than 25 miles from the boundary of a unit under a plan of development. And there's a third category of expenditures allowable for a credit, and that is seismic work is eligible for 40% tax credit when it's conducted outside the boundary of any unit in the state. Once approved, after we've audited and issued the credit or a portion of it can be applied to the producer's tax liability or sold and transferred to another producer to apply against their production tax liabilities. Under the existing law, the work must be performed between July 1, 2003 and July 1, 2007. In general, the allowable expenses for the credit include the direct costs of the work performed, the drilling rig cost, the drilling crew on site, that type of thing. We exclude overhead, administration, supervision, lease operating costs, environmental costs, what are generally known as indirect costs. This bill we're discussing this morning extends the period for this credit for the Alaska Peninsula, proposed Alaska Peninsula competitive lease sale, until July 2010, because the work is not expected, can't start until after the lease sale, and the current law is scheduled to expire. And so, therefore, we're proposing extending the qualifying period for 4 years.
Pretty straightforward. Any questions? Well, there's no questions, sir. Representative Grunberg.
Yeah, I'd like to hear what people have to say,
sure.
And then maybe I'll have
certainly.
I probably
understand.
Will.
Yeah, we're going to stay in line until we turn
thank
these
you,
folks. All right. Who's next? Do you guys orchestrate this, or you just want me to call?
Steve, next we've got Mr. Cowan. I want to talk a little bit about the lease end of it.
Good morning. My name is Jim Cowan, for the record. I'm a petroleum geologist here with the Division of Oil and Gas and DNR. And I'm accompanied by Pat Galvin, who is our lease program administrator. So I'll defer to Pat any questions you have about the leasing process.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman. This is Pat Galvin. I'm here primarily just to answer any questions that you might have regarding the lease sale. The bill is primarily a revenue bill.
Mr. Galvin, if you just, what's your affiliation again?
I'm with the Division of Oil and Gas. I'm the leasing manager.
All right. Mr. Dickinson? Excuse me.
Dan Dickinson with the Department of Revenue.
Excuse me, Mr. Dickinson.
Thank you, Mr.
Excuse
Chairman. I think Gary has summed up the bill exactly on point. I'm certainly available to answer any questions if there are any, although I'd probably defer them to him. So I really have nothing further to add if there are no questions.
Representative.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I don't know if one of you gentlemen or ladies who is ever on the line or in the audience should answer, or we should get Jack Chenoweth on the phone for this. I'm focusing on page 2, line 13, and also what's not on page 5. It seems that this may be, in one sense, a little bit redundant, because I guess it's not. No. What you're adding is for work done between July 103 and July 1, 2010, for stuff done on the Alaska Peninsula. And I'm wondering if, in fact, legally, since this is a look back to July 1, 03, whether this requires a retroactivity clause on the last page.
Representative Grunberg, for the chair, this is Dan Dickinson, if I might take that.
Go ahead, Mr. Dickinson.
It is my belief that all we are doing is saying that work that was done back before after July 1, 2003, will qualify. I'm not an attorney, so I can't draw the distinction there, but it's my belief that we're simply defining the window and work was done. Clearly, we haven't had an application. No one has applied prior to this date for that time period, but if they had done work before the lease sale, in those areas, it would qualify. And that's all we're doing by keeping that July 1, 2003 date. We don't want to make this addition for the Alaska Peninsula more restrictive than the original bill, which applied to any work done anywhere in the state.
Mr. Chair, thank you. I suspect you're correct. We have that on the record. And for that reason, I'm not going to pursue the matter. But I tend to agree with you that we don't need a retroactivity clause because the actual application for the credit is not yet occurring. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Well, thank you, Representative Grunberg. Let's see. We have folks with who are not with the state of Alaska. Does anyone else with the state with a state agency wish to testify on the bill? If not, why don't we talk to is it Teal Smith?
This is Bill Corbis. I just wanted to let you know that I'm going to be leaving.
We'll miss you, sir.
Thank you.
We have Teal Smith, the resource manager with the Bristol Bay Native Corporation. Okay, well, we do have Bob Jutner.
Yes.
Mr. Jutner, if you could give us your name and your affiliation for the record.
Sure. Bob Jutner, Aleutians East Borough Administrative. And I thank the committee for allowing us to speak on short notice. In general, we have no problem with this bill. We support it. The idea of new oil and gas exploration on the Alaska Peninsula is very exciting to us. Anything that will provide us with some more basic economy, basic economics, provide options for our residents, we're really behind it. I'd also like to make a couple of points about some of the history of oil exploration on the Alaska Peninsula. It's been hotly contested for years. And people have gotten together and they've looked at what's happened to their fisheries and the value of their fisheries, the values of the permits, their inability to make a living. And with all, and this is very unusual, if you know the Alaska Peninsula and fishery politics, we don't come together very often, but in this case, we have come together, the folks in Lake and Penn, BBNC, the Aleut Corporation, Aleutians East Borough, are all on line with this plan to go forward with oil exploration and development. So any bill that is going to offer incentives to help move it along, to help create a diversified economy, we're behind 100%. And in closing, I'd like to make one final comment. Two comments, actually. I always want to commend the people at BBNC for stepping up to the plate and moving this issue forward with the governor. That took a lot of foresight and a fair degree of courage. Second thing I want to point out is that we have had a tremendously good working relationship with the Department of Natural Resources on this project. I think we've met more than monthly with the Division of Oil and Gas since the end of the summer, in working with them on the drafting of their draft best interest finding and the taking of the Aleutians East Coastal Management Plan into the draft best interest finding. It's been a good experience, at least from the perspective of the Aleutians East Borough. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. Any questions, Representative Grunberg?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I am going through the bill haven't quite finished. But I do have a question. If the members would look at the original bill on page 2, line 15, and contrast that with the G version on the same line and page, it's in section 2 of the bill. The phrase on line 15 of the original bill said, "and gas area-wide lease sale area described in Section 5 of this Act," and the phrase "described in Section 5 of this Act" no longer appears in the CS. In other words, that this would apply to a much broader area, it seems to me, under the CS than it does in the original bill. This is more than a technical change that the folks in Ledge Legal have made. Was that an intentional change, and if so, why? Should we maybe be listing other things, or if we're being very specific here, shouldn't be listed to the many items that are described, areas, 43 areas that are described in Section 5?
Anybody who's...
Mr. Chairman, this is Dan Dickinson. I might take a shot at that.
Yes, go ahead.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Grunberg through the chair, it is my belief that that was a stylistic change only. Again, I'm not an attorney. I had a conversation with the Assistant Attorney General Lisa Kirsch over at the Department of Law, and she talked about the stylistic changes and said that they made sense to her and didn't change the intent of the bill. We can certainly bring that back and see if focusing on the specific point you raised, she still agrees with that. But it was certainly not the intent to broaden it beyond that area.
Well, through the chair.
Yeah, Representative Greenberg, then Representative Wilson.
I'll yield.
Representative Wilson.
Well, I'm just wondering, because on page 15 it says that's described in Section A, and when you go back to Section A, it says subject to the terms and conditions of this section, which was Section 1. Does that cover enough? Or because it talks about it, but it doesn't talk about the specific areas.
Through the chair. Where are you talking about?
On.
You're on the CS?
Yes.
And where?
And on page on line 15.
Okay.
On the last page, page 5A.
Page 5.
5.
Of the committee substitute.
Of the committee substitute. And the A goes up and says sections 2 and 5.
No, that's a contingent effective date. It requires that for the act to occur, there must be a condition precedent, and that means that the Commissioner of Natural Resource must find that certain legal requirements are met and that the sale has occurred, and then they must notify the Commissioner of Revenue.
No.
And the reviser of statutes must be notified also, so that the Michi books, the black books, blue books here, can state that the bill's now in effect.
On line 15? On line 15?
Line 15? Okay. I'm on page 5, line 15 of the CS. The Commissioner of Natural Resources shall promptly notify the reviser of statutes that the lease sale described in Section A has occurred. That just is a technical requirement.
Okay.
That they notify the publisher of the Pam Findlay, so that she can notify the Michi publishers.
Okay, we don't have Mr. Smith online, do we? He hasn't called in. Okay, I think Mr. Smith's position, from what I understand, is support of the bill. Representative Greenberg.
I understand what Mr. Chenoweth is saying here. What he is saying here in his memo to you, Mr. Chair, of January 17, I have deleted reference in the amendment to a pertinent law provision of a reference of a permanent law provision of a reference to Section 5 of this Act. Our practice, with a very limited number of exceptions made where it's not possible to substitute an appropriate permanent law cross-reference, has been to omit temporary law bill section references in the body of permanent law. However, here you're talking about a legal description, and I believe, and I would ask staff and Department of Revenue and Mr. Chenoweth to check it. I think unless the entire Alaska Peninsula is included in the legal descriptions in Section 5, that they need to limit it to those areas in Section 5, but I don't know.
What we'll do, Representative Greenberg, is this, we will ask Mr. Chenoweth for that and have him get back to the committee with a copy to you and the rest of the committee members about your observation and concern. And if we need to make that available to the next committees, we certainly can do that.
Yeah, I don't want to hold the bill up, but I
understand. I understand your concern, and your technical review is appreciated. Is there any other, Representative Greenberg, any further questions?
No, sir.
On that? Is there any further public testimony on the bill? I did have a question for Mr. Dickinson. Mr. Dickinson, are you?
Yes, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Is the current and proposed tax credit here applied to production tax before or after the economic limit factor?
Mr. Chairman, it would be applied after the economic limit factor. In other words, the first thing you do is you calculate the total amount of tax due, and that would include the economic limit factor. And then when you go to write a check, you can simply say, oh, I have a credit. So essentially, it's just another way of paying the tax that is due. It has no calculation or no bearing on the total tax liability.
All right.
And Mr. Chairman, if that's clear.
Yeah. Representative Wilson.
I do have a question, and maybe we should discuss this on the last page of the explanation from the bill drafter. It says, finally, as a policy consideration, you do understand, do you not, that the change of the or to and on page 2, line 5 of the measure, as introduced, allows for a doubling of the potential accumulation of expenditures that may be claimed as credits from the 40% maximum of current law to a possible maximum of 80%. That's
a lot.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, Mr.
This is Gary Rogers. May I respond to that, please?
Yes, certainly.
Ms. Wilson, through the chair, the way the tax credit works is the expenditure is either under Section C, which is 20% for a 3-mile well, or Section D, which is 20% plus 20% for a well that's both 3 miles and 25 miles from a unit, or under Section E, which is for seismic, which is 40%. So a seismic expenditure can never be a well expenditure, and they can't be added together. And vice versa, an expenditure for an exploration well can never be a seismic expenditure. So there is no addition of 40% plus 40%.
However, on that, on page 2 of the committee substitute, line 5, we've changed the word or and added and.
Mr. Chairman, if I might.
Go ahead.
Dan Dickinson, Ms. Wilson. I think Gary summed it up precisely. And this request was made because some folks in the Department of Law felt that if we had an or there, the implication would be you could either do seismic work and get a credit for it, or you could do your well work and get a credit for it. But if you did seismic work and then proceeded to drill and there was an or there, you might not be restricted somehow from claiming 40% for the well and 40% for the seismic work. And I think, as Gary has precisely said, the kinds of expenses you submit for seismic work and the kinds of expenses you submit for a well are different since we don't allow overheads. So the belief of law is that we're clarifying it, and obviously we're perhaps not doing a good a job if there's still confusion here, but the notion is or might have implied exclusivity between them because no cost can go in either one or two. We believe having an and in there is more precise and will allow the intent, which is you get credit for seismic work and then the wells that you might drill as a consequence of what you found out from the seismic work.
Well, it is confusing. I'm wondering.
If I may help.
Representative Grunberg.
Mr. Chair, Representative Wilson, I believe that interpretation is correct. You have to look at the whole first several lines on that page and realize that there's sections A, B, and E that are involved. And what they're saying at the beginning is you can get 20% under C, or 20% under D, or both. That it, for a total that doesn't exceed 40%, and 40% under E. I'm getting confused. I'm sorry, I spoke too soon. I'm slightly confused too, Mr. Chair. I withdraw my...
Mr. Chairman, this is Gary Rogers. Mr. Grunberg, through the chair, I believe you are exactly right. As you said, in line 1, you get 20% of the expenditures that qualify under C,
yeah,
or 20% of the expenditures that qualify under D, or both, which is C plus D,
yeah,
for a total of 40%.
Yeah.
And that cannot exceed 40%. And then on line 6, paragraph 2, and you can get 40% for expenditures that qualify under E, which is seismic. So you can get a maximum of 40% for a well if it meets the two qualifications, and you can get a maximum of 40% for seismic under E.
Representative Grunberg.
Yes. Okay. I know I can see what you're saying, but if I were an uninitiated lawyer looking at this or a judge, I would look at the and to be cumulative to that. No, it would be conjunctive, not disjunctive. I do think that it should be or, because at the very least, it's it is highly ambiguous, and at the very worst, it would be read the way Representative Wilson and I are reading it. I would be
Representative Grunberg, through the chair, if I may respond to that.
Go ahead and represent Mr. Dickinson.
Thank you. Representative Grunberg, I think the important point to make is that no invoice, if you will, could be submitted under Section E and under the other sections. The kinds of costs you have for wells and the kinds of costs you have for seismic are different. I freely admit that if you could, you know, if you had some expenditure that was the same for both, then it could go up to 80% on that expenditure. But the point is, and why we're comfortable with the rewrite, is that you have different expenditures under the two categories. And I, you know, we spent a lot of time talking about this whole notion of disjunctive, but the notion of or, where the attorneys were scared of, is you would have one discrete set of costs under one, and then the or would say you either choose the seismic costs or the well costs, but you couldn't apply for both.
Representative Wilson.
First of all, I'm not an attorney. So this is just a layperson looking at this. But if it really, if there's no way that they could turn anything that's the same, then what? Why not have or?
Representative Grunberg.
I would echo that. We don't want people to be litigating it. And if that is the intent, then I think it should be made absolutely clear. And I would say an easy way of doing it would be on page 2, line 5, to change that and or. But if you don't like that through the chair, then we should do something else that makes what you're saying here on the record absolutely clear, so they don't have to look at some obscure committee minutes back in February of 05.
Representative Grunberg, through the chair, I agree with you. The clearer we can be, the better. We would certainly be welcome to a suggestion. This is one of those words I'm sure you're aware of in your practice. We spent a lot of time talking about and or, and have run through different drafts, because the confusion is if we put an or in there, I go out and I do seismic in year one, go back, analyze it in over the summer, and then come back in year two and drill a well, someone reading this might say, okay, which one can I apply for? I can either apply for my seismic costs or I can apply for my well costs, but the law says or. It doesn't say I can apply for them both, and that was never the intent of the framers of this legislation, and so we want to make sure that that we were trying to clarify that point. I agree we may not have achieved clarity. We may have jumped from the fire pan into the fire, and we certainly should try to make this clear.
So Wilson and Grunberg?
What about wording that would be similar to at a later time if they're doing a different phase of their exploration or whatever it is, they would be able to do this? So you're telling me that when they're in one phase of the exploration, they could do 40%, and if it turns into another phase, they can do 40% of that phase.
Representative Wilson, through the chair, yes, that's precisely right, and it's our belief no cost will be in both phases.
Representative Grunberg?
Mr. Chair, obviously, you people have excellent lawyers. I just happen to be a family lawyer. I don't do too many oil and gas wells in divorces. So I just would suggest that somebody work on this and make it crystal clear certainly they can do that.
Representative Grunberg, through the chair, these are two points now I will bring up with Ms. Kirsch next week, your earlier point in this one.
So I guess what you're saying is that the same people that are originally starting with their exploration can get 40% of their costs back from the first phase or a written off or whatever, and then at the next phase as they go on, and that is the current policy, that as they go forward and go into their next phase, that they can get 40% of that. And I don't know, so I'm just asking you, is that the current way that we do business?
Ms. Representative Wilson, through the chair, this is Gary Rogers.
Mr. Rogers? Mr. Rogers?
Yes?
Before you begin, if everyone else would mute their phones so we don't pick up all the background noise, shuffling, and other noise, that'd be great. Go ahead.
Okay. Representative Wilson, through the chair, the way the companies conduct exploration is by discrete projects. One project may be a well. Another project may be a seismic shoot. And that's the way we have the credit set up. They file a credit claim form for each separate project. And so... then we audit them to make sure that the costs are allowable costs and the costs aren't duplicated between projects. Or if there's a sharing of costs, say if an ice road is split between two wells, that the sharing is adequate and reasonable. So it's not so much phases, but it's projects.
Then just use the word project where I put phase. The first project is the exploration of that well. The next project is the seismic activity or whatever. That next project, is it current policy that they can take 40% off that first project, move on to the second project, and take 40% off of that?
Representative Wilson, through the chair, yes, per the conditions set out here that the well qualifies as a 3-mile well or is 25 miles from a unit, or that the third project is a seismic project. So they can get up to a maximum of 40% for either type of project. They can never exceed 40% on any individual project.
So is the proposed amendment, does it create a smaller or larger tax credit than the previous lease agreement?
Mr. Chairman, this is the same tax credit as the previous act last year.
I see.
Mr. Chairman, Dan Dickinson, if I might, it was our intent to provide the exact one and simply provide clarity. So in that sense, we probably haven't done a good job. But it was not our intent to change anything. It was merely to clarify.
All right. Representative Grunberg.
Mr. Chair, I think a way to solve the problem to everyone's satisfaction in this committee would be when we move the bill to do a letter of intent with it to the next committee, flagging these two issues so that they are sure that they deal with them and send a copy of that to Jack Chenoweth.
Mm-hmm. I think actually instead of the letter to accompany the bill, what I'll do is I'll just write a memo to the next committee telling them what our concerns would be and the clarifying issues, Representative Grunberg, if that's all right. Further comments, questions by the committee?
Mr. Chair.
Representative Grunberg.
I am just very carefully going through these legal descriptions, and I would ask the folks on the line, have they triple-checked and made sure that there are no errors? I don't see any, but just to make sure that there aren't any.
Representative Grunberg, through the chair, Dan Dickinson. Again, we have worked with the folks at the Department of Law and with the folks in the Department of Natural Resources, and it's our belief these are accurate. It never harms to check one more time. But it was certainly our intent, and we hope we've done our work diligently.
I'm about to issue. We can just take 10 seconds, Mr. Chair.
Okay. Sir, Mr. Smith didn't show, did he? Okay. Is there any other public, are there any other members of the public that wish to testify on this bill? Seeing none, we'll close public testimony. Are there any other members of the state that wish to testify on the bill, pending Representative Grunberg?
Yes. Subsection 43, the top of page 5, any adjustment to 1 to 42 of this section, as described in the final written finding of best interest. If we're trying to be fairly limited to the items in the list here, does that, how much wiggle room does that give the commissioner in adding additional lands?
If somebody cares to test or respond to that, you'll have to push your mute button.
Mr. Chairman, this is Dan Dickinson. I think perhaps the folks from DNR could speak more precisely to the commissioner's powers.
Yes, Mr. Chair, this is Pat Galvin with Department of Natural Resources.
Yes, Mr. Galvin.
That section is added primarily as a acknowledgement that the area-wide lease sale boundary may be smaller than what was proposed at this time based upon the comments that come in during the best interest finding process, but it will not be larger. Basically, we start with a proposed boundary, and if there are areas within it that are found to not be in the state's interest to offer, then the area may be restricted, but we would not be able to expand it.
Through the chair.
Mayor Representative Grunberg.
If that is the case, do we want to specify that in the statute?
That is from the leasing process. The statute's dealing with the area-wide leasing process that established our best interest funding process make that clear. I'm not sure if it needs to be duplicated in the revenue section.
Maybe we could get somebody from revenue to answer that question, Mr. Chair.
Mr. Dickinson?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This really becomes a stylistic question. I think as Mr. Galvin's correctly pointed out, folks don't like to put things in two places because then when amendments happen or stuff happens, you have these two things that may end up saying slightly different things. So generally, we don't like duplicative restatement, but I certainly can bring this point up with law and maybe have them coordinate with DNR as well to work that through.
Well, just so long as we get it taken care of, the committee process doesn't happen on the floor. That's the big concern here, and that the questions get it addressed.
But I think, Mr. Chairman, I think Mr. Galvin's correctly identified that there's a process that I don't believe that the best interest findings would expand the area. Hence, it wouldn't necessarily need to be restated here.
Sure. Well, we have three more committees to do this, too. Representative Grunberg.
I would like, do the members have the Chenoweth memo? Okay. I would like to call the attention, and I don't know if the people on the phone have the Chenoweth memo, but he has raised some other potential problems on page 2, and I'm wondering if those could be addressed.
The people online may not have that memo.
Would you like me to read it?
You go ahead.
Okay. Folks, Jack Chenoweth, who's the legal counsel in Ledge Legal, who's worked on the CS, has said on page 2 of his memo of January 17 to Chair Wyrock, quote, there are some other potential problems with the bill that I am unable to address, which the committee may want to question the administration representatives appear to testify on it. Number one, page 1, line 5, the bill refers to, quote, expenditures claimed as credits, quote, on production tax on oil and gas produced from a lease sale after July 1, 2004. But the authorization in the body of the bill at page 2, lines 13 through 15 refers to activity occurring on or after July 1, 2003, should the title reference be conformed. It is the opinion of at least one of the revising attorneys in that office, and I'm not sure which office he's referring to, that it should. The question is, in the title, should we have the date 2003, July 1, 2003? That's his first question. Then I'll proceed to the second.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Grubin, through the chair, I think if Gary Rogers is unmuted, I think he can probably, we in fact did review the memo, and I think he can answer the three questions there, although I believe the third one has already been addressed through Representative Wilson's questions.
Mr. Chairman, this is Gary Rogers. Mr. Grunberg, through the chair. Actually, we want to leave. We don't want to change the title as activity before the lease sale could qualify. In other words, if there's been expiration prior to the lease sale, we didn't want to change any of the dates in the bill other than extending the period.
Okay.
And then do you have the...
Representative Grunberg?
Do you have, and I just want to assure members that I have no desire to hold this bill up or anything. I just want to get these issues, these legal issues, dealt with here. On page 3, line 10, do you have the Chenoweth memo there handy, folks?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Would you care to respond to his question about page 3, line 10?
Page 3, line 10. Addresses.
Mr. Chair, this is Pat Galvin from DNR. This may be an issue that's more a DNR issue.
Go ahead, Mr. Galvin.
The reference in this particular statute is to the 25 miles from the boundary of a unit, and that is a separate issue than the boundary of the lease sale area. A unit is a collection of leases that's being managed collectively, and the lease sale boundary is a separate, a completely separate designation. And I think the confusion from Mr. Chenoweth is he didn't recognize the distinction between the lease sale boundary that's being described in the other section concerning Alaska Peninsula and these production units that is referenced elsewhere in the statute.
Okay, and then you can see
Representative Grunberg.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. You can see he has the, I'm going to call it Wilson concern in his final paragraph, too. So I just flagged that for you. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Representative Grunberg. Representative Wilson,
I'm just ready to move the bill.
Is there any other member of the executive branch who cares to testify on the bill? Any further questions of the committee, of any of the folks online? If not, we'll close the hearing on the bill. Is there any further committee comment? Seeing none, Representative Wilson.
I move CS for House Bill number 71, version G, with individual recommendations and the accompanying fiscal note.
And we'll get the memo to the next committee. And thank the committee. Is there any objection to the motion? Seeing none, the bill moves with committee from committee with individual recommendations and attached fiscal note. And there's no further business to come before the committee. We'll have a number of bills before us next week, and we will be adjourned. Thank you.